The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Friday, March 8th, 2024. Yes, it is Friday. Finally, let me tell you what. Finally, it is Friday here on the Plains. Hope you're all doing well on a cloudy, more dreary Friday. Beautiful day yesterday, and I believe that rain is moving on in here in Auburn. Going to be raining, as far as I know, Uncle T-Bone, all night tonight and throughout the day tomorrow until the afternoon. But let's enjoy it while it's not raining. Happy Friday, sir. Great to have you back in studio. It's been a couple of days.
Yeah, it has. I apologize. I've been on the road with the day job, definitely getting after it. It's been a heck of a week. Glad to be in studio. Glad to be back home. And glad to be here with you on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika. On the line, Jacob, the show that always tells it like it is.
And it never holds anything back. And that's what we plan on doing today for two straight hours. We've got all basketball things to talk about. We've got to recap what has been a wild week in college basketball, SEC basketball, heading into the final regular season game of the year. Yes, that is tomorrow. It's crazy to think that it's already here. It's crazy to think where postseason play is finally arrived. And there's a lot still to be decided tomorrow, Uncle T-Bone, when it comes to the SEC standings, who's going to be in what seed lines for the SEC tournament, the NCAA tournament as well. So all of that on the show today. We'll have Bruce Pearl with us for his press conference earlier today about previewing Senior Day tomorrow for the Auburn Tigers. So excited to listen to that. Updates on Auburn baseball. They moved the game up from today. It started at 11:30 today, top of the ninth, 6-6. In the top of the ninth inning over at Plainsman Park between Auburn and Austin Peay. You said it while we were coming on. That's a good Austin Peay team, man.
Yeah, I got to go over to actually squeeze in a little visit to Plainsman Park for a while Wednesday when the Air Force Academy and the cadets came over and played Auburn. And, boy, it was a beautiful day out there at the ballpark. But more importantly, it was just, I mean, Plainsman Park is rounding into shape. And when they get finished with it, it's going to be one of the premier places in college baseball to watch a baseball game. I just cannot wait. Saw some of the renderings of the platform that's going to be above the Green Monster over there. And it's going to be super, man. And I don't get over on campus much anymore. It's amazing to see just like the city, the growth that's occurred on campus and all the new buildings that kind of even surround Plainsman Park. And it's just going to be a jewel right there and kind of in the center of campus. And I highly recommend getting out there this weekend and getting going, watching some baseball, some Auburn baseball. And with that, Jacob, breaking news, we got four together to give away for the baseball game tomorrow against Austin Peay. So whoever wants them, first caller in that wants these four tickets, Auburn baseball, you got to come get them today here at the station. After at least by 6 o'clock, I guess, when Bill and them get off the air. Is that how that works?
But yeah, and we can put them, we'll have them available for somebody if they want to come by and get them today. Office closes a little bit early on Fridays, but they're still available. So, and here's the thing, with that Auburn baseball game tomorrow, it is a fluctuating start with the weather tomorrow. So keep an eye on that. Auburn will announce when that game is to be played. They're thinking probably tomorrow afternoon, later afternoon, evening. But with the weather, it's just kind of a waiting game. But we do have four tickets for whoever wants them. 334-321-1390. That's the number. Come there on in. Get them. Let's go. Get your tickets. You can be a part of the show today as well. We want to hear from you. Your thoughts, picks, and predictions for Auburn and Georgia tomorrow inside of Neville Arena. We also want to hear your thoughts and predictions on how the SEC is going to play out. Who wins tomorrow, Tennessee or Kentucky? Right, that's a big game tomorrow. Can Arkansas go on the road and try to steal one from Alabama inside of Coleman Coliseum? We have that on today's schedule as well. So, yes, giving away four tickets for Auburn baseball tomorrow. It'll be after the weather sometime. 334-321-1390. And let's recap a busy week, Uncle T-Bone. Sure. It's been a great week of basketball around the country and around the SEC. Big time games and big time results.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's getting down to crunch time. That's just all there is to it. It's March. March Madness has already begun. Before we get into men's basketball real quick, I want to give a shout out to the Auburn women's basketball team last night. I did get back in town yesterday afternoon in time to get up to one of our proud sponsors over at Baumhauer's on Big Creek Drive. So go check them out. They have Tiger Talk there on Thursdays. And I forgot it was Tiger Talk, unfortunately, so I didn't get my premier seating that I normally get.
Dang.
But that's okay. I got to hang out. It's a great place. Wall-to-wall Auburn fans. And in between listening to Andy and Brad Law and Coach Butch Thompson and Bruce Pearl was there and Dylan Cardwell was there. He's massive. Got a picture of him and my youngest son. I got to show you Jacob at break. Just really cool. Maybe we can get that on some type of Facebook for everybody. You see, he's huge. Great guy. Great kid. The entire restaurant was pulling for Auburn women's basketball last night. I mean, just going wild.
Yeah.
Like it was the Auburn men's team in the Sweet 16 or something.
It's awesome.
It's really awesome. And it just goes to show when teams are having success, no matter what the sport, here in Auburn especially, people are going to support them. So good luck against LSU. I believe that game's at 5 o'clock tonight. Be really something to see if they can get another upset. They played very well last night.
Yeah, they played well last night. And you got to remember, too, that's an Auburn women's basketball team against the defending national champions, Uncle T-Bone. They beat them here
that's
in
right.
Auburn, and they went on the road and almost beat them in Baton Rouge. Yeah. Had every chance to do so. That's a really good game tonight, and you can catch that on the radio over on AU100. That's 100.3 FM and AU100FM.com on the air at 4:45 with the first tip-off is set for 5 p.m. Britt Bowen will be on the call. I will be on board, and I will be the halftime show host tonight filling in
awesome.
For some of our board ops, so I'll be over there. As soon as I walk out of this studio, I'll walk into the AU100 studio and be in studio for that tonight. So excited for that. Auburn women's basketball playing well, trying to get to the semifinals of the SEC women's tournament tomorrow, regular season finale for SEC men's basketball.
Yep.
And you had Tennessee earlier this week, Uncle T-Bone, win the outright SEC title with another big time win, beat South Carolina on the road.
That was a really good basketball game. You know, South Carolina's no joke. They're playing for position right now in the NCAA tournament. Tennessee's just kind of a gear ahead of everybody else in conference play, though. It's blatantly obvious. They take care of business tomorrow at home against Kentucky. I don't really care what happens to the SEC tournament. They've got to be a number one seed.
I agree. I
mean, that's just
you.
All there is to it.
Yeah.
They got the athletes that Rick Barnes always has at Tennessee, but they got a couple of extra special athletes who can score and they can lean on in crunch time.
Mm-hmm. Go-getters.
The guard, Ziegler, Connect, obviously. Dalton Connect probably going to be the SEC player of the year. That team can make a deep, deep run in the NCAA tournament. There's several teams in the league that can.
Yeah.
But they take care of business, and I think they do against Kentucky. I think that at home,
really? Okay.
At the end of the year, at home, I mean, they're playing to be they're playing for Kentucky. Look, that's a super good team that could make a run to the Final Four. Plenty of talent. Plenty of talent. Kind of the, you know, I don't know. They attack the rim very well. Tyler Shepard's just amazing. But I like the Vols tomorrow at home. I think they're red hot. I like them rolling into the SEC tournament. And if they can do some damage there, I definitely like them rolling into that NCAA tournament.
I just think they're the better team, Uncle
yeah.
T-Bone. I think Tennessee is one of the best teams in college basketball, and they're playing like it. And I know Auburn fans don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. And yesterday on the show, I walked back my comments about Tennessee not making it to the Sweet 16 because they have completely proven me wrong. I said that after they beat Auburn. And I said, look, that's a good Tennessee team. I don't think they're great yet. And I need to see what happens when Dalton Knecht doesn't score 39 points. Well, guess what? All they've done is go on the road and beat Alabama and go on the road and beat South Carolina and probably have a good chance to beat Kentucky at home tomorrow to finish out the regular season. That's pretty darn good if you ask me, and pretty much has proven to me, yeah, they are good enough. Now, doesn't mean they will make a run. They've got to overcome the hump of the Rick Barnes Tennessee curse, but this is the team to do it. And
I agree with that.
And I like them at home tomorrow, too. We'll talk more about it as we go. But I do. I like Tennessee at home tomorrow to take care of business against Kentucky.
Look, Auburn fans, there's nothing to be ashamed of. I think Auburn's the second-best team in the league right now, heading into postseason play. Kentucky, you can make an – well, you can definitely make an argument that Florida's about as hot as anybody other than Tennessee.
Yes.
But all around, I think Auburn, despite the loss to Kentucky at home a few weeks ago, just has this amazing amount of depth that at all waves plays physical basketball. And I know it was Missouri, and I know it was on the road. Missouri was playing with about as big a chip on their shoulder as I've seen them play all season. They wanted to get a W bad and upset Auburn's apple cart. And that first half was a physical brand of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of elbows being thrown. There was a lot of checking being happening. There was a lot of defense being played. There was a lot of hardcore rebounding going on underneath. They were changing paint down in the paint. But Auburn just rolled out there in the second half and said, okay, we've got a whole different gear that you don't. And to go on the road and win again by double digits. I mean, how many times has Auburn won by double digits this season?
Seems like just about all of their wins in conference play have been by double digits. And I think that may be an accurate stat as I go and check. I think it is. I think Auburn has won every single game in conference play.
I'm not sure
by
it's
double
not
digits.
Every game that they've won by double digits.
Well, the SEC fact is true. I'm looking at it right now, and I'm looking. Yeah, I don't think Auburn's won a game by single digits. And somebody can double-check me in case my eyes are failing me, but yeah, I don't see a single win. And we've talked about this in the past, but it's just crazy how we're getting down to the last game of the regular season, and Auburn has yet to win a game in the single digits. We've talked about how they haven't played many close games, and the ones that they have, they've lost. But, hey, when you're winning by double digits, how can you really complain?
Look, some of these teams that Auburn played in the regular non-conference schedule early on aren't having the better years like they normally are, but a couple of them are kind of coming around. Indiana's playing a lot better. USC's struggled this year, but you know, Auburn playing the likes of UNC Asheville and golly, what was that other team, that smaller team, that these teams are normally in the tournament.
Well, you played Saint Bonaventure.
The Bonnies.
That's the team that makes an appearance every now and then.
Yeah, and they're still fighting kind of for any type of tournament life up there in their conference. And you're just beating the heck out of them. I was at that Indiana game. You were too. That was in downtown Atlanta.
Yep.
I mean, protesters from all across the likes of the political spectrum out there just going crazy at people.
It was nuts out there. It was.
I mean, people don't realize getting into that arena was crazy. And then you got into the arena and it was, 65% Indiana fans?
At least. Yeah.
I mean, it was rocking. And that was in December. And I was like, I've never been to an NCAA tournament game, but that's what this feels like.
Yep.
And Auburn just wrecked them.
Waxed them.
And it's like, man, I'm telling you, Tiger fans, there's going to be some teams, if we get the right matchup in the tournament, they may can have 90% of the fans in there. It's not going to matter. Auburn can wear some teams out because most of these teams that play any kind of basketball this season outside of this conference, or somebody like Appalachian State or St. Bonaventure that we've already played out of conference, if we see them again, have never seen the likes of Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that they're just immensely more talented than everybody. Everyone plays hardcore defense. They play a physical brand of basketball, and they attrition you to death, and they just come at you in waves.
Yeah, and teams in the first and second round of the NCAA tournament, or teams like that Auburn is going to see, most of them cannot handle that.
No.
Now, some of them can with hot shooting and forcing turnovers or bad play. I mean, that's how upsets happen in March, right? It's just one team showed up and played their best and the other team didn't. It's also about matchups, something we've had a lot of discussion about with our guests and callers and everything like that. So it is about matchups, but when you take the best of Auburn and you put it up against the best of most of the other teams around college basketball, they cannot hang with Auburn's stuff. But there are some teams that can.
Oh, sure.
But you question, okay, what happens if Auburn... And look, that Tennessee game was a prime example. Auburn played one of their better games in that night. They just got beat because they let Dalton Knecht beat them. But what happens if Auburn plays their best game against Kentucky? I think they beat that team, and I hope Auburn gets that chance in Nashville in the SEC tournament. What happens if Auburn plays their best game against Florida on neutral site? I think Auburn beats that team. They probably beat them by double digits. Now, that's a hard Florida team to beat right now, but you get what I'm saying here. Auburn split their season series with Alabama. There's a chance Auburn and Alabama could play in the SEC semifinals of the tournament next week. How fun would that be? You start comparing and putting yourself against these teams, and you're like, okay, you feel pretty good.
Yeah.
That if Auburn plays their best, they've got a good chance to go on a run.
You know, the only thing that would concern me is just some kind of weird or freak injury to somebody. You know,
God forbid, of course.
Unfortunately, we've been prone to that. You know, let's just go with Lenardi. You know, I kind of bounce around between him and Palm. Let's just go with Lenardi, right? Right now, he's got us as a 4 seed in Salt Lake City in the Eastern bracket, which is not where Salt Lake City is, obviously. Playing Samford, 13 seed. That would be Samford's Super Bowl of all Super Bowls.
You better believe that.
So I don't like that matchup. I think Auburn takes care of business, but I don't like that. It's like getting Jacksonville State a couple years ago in the first round. You know, I think Auburn takes care of business, but that's going to be an emotional game with an in-state smaller school that really wants to wreck your life.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a little bit more laid out on the line in that game. Second round, BYU or Richmond. You're telling me that either one of those teams have really seen a team like Auburn in these waves? Maybe BYU out of the Big 12? But what if Richmond? I mean, you get the right couple of matchups. And what I'm saying is, Tigers, go ahead and start making – reservations for the Sweet 16. Because that's just, I think, where Auburn is right now, unless there's just some kind of, God forbid, like you said, freak injury to somebody.
Yeah.
They got so much depth. They're super physical. When Bruce Pearl's teams are physical and have a chip on their shoulder, it really plays into his coaching style. And they're just going to break teams like they broke Missouri the other night. Missouri thought they had a chance, and they just came out there in that second half, and they broke them.
Update on Auburn baseball. It was tied 6-6 in the top half of the ninth inning. Auburn held them scoreless in the top half. How about Mason Maynard, number 21, the outfielder? He stepped up and hit a walk-off bomb Auburn to win over Austin Peay, 7-6 in game one this afternoon. They'll play again tomorrow. We still got tickets for that game.
Yes.
Call in. We'll want to give those away to you. 4 tickets for tomorrow. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. Auburn baseball defeats Austin Peay 7-6 on a walk-off homer from Mr. Mason Maynard. We'll have some more about that. Talk more basketball when we come back here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back inside the studio here on the Friday edition of On the Line. I'm Jacob Goins. He's Uncle T-Bone. Back together once again here in the studio on this Friday afternoon. We appreciate you being with us. Hope you're all doing well. Maybe you've already knocked off work. You've gone home, or maybe you're out in the yard before it rains. Whatever you're doing, we appreciate you being with us here on ESPN 106.7. We were talking during the break and looking at the bracketology from Lenardi. It is updated. This is from this morning, Uncle T-Bone. This is a updated bracketology from this morning from Joe Lenardi.
Mm-hmm.
And you were telling me, and it's something I've been saying, and I totally agree, Auburn is higher than a 4 seed. They were a 5 seed, okay?
Yeah, come on, man.
They've been a 5 seed in Lenardi's thing, but thanks to a couple of the wins, now they're a 4 seed. But you were saying you believe they can make a jump all the way to the 3 line by the time Selection Sunday rolls around.
Well, if you just look at that individual bracket, that one quadrant, and we're looking at Lenardi over at ESPN.com and his bracketology. This is the Eastern bracket. And they've got Kansas at a 3, right below Auburn at a 4. Kansas is leaking oil.
Yeah, you better
believe it. Like the Exxon Valdez right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
just call them BP, man.
And they've got I think that right there, you should just go ahead and switch the two, especially if Auburn takes care of business tomorrow, wins by double digits like they have been, and does just a little damage in the SEC tournament. Unless Kansas were to win the Big 12 tournament, I can't see them as a three ahead of Auburn right now. I don't care what kind of metrics you roll out. I'm looking at it, the eye test. I'd take Auburn over Kansas on a neutral court right now, every day, twice on Sunday.
You better believe it. And I would do that right now on March 8th. Okay.
Yes.
And the reason I say that is because you know who Kansas plays tomorrow in their season finale. They're on the road at the number one team in the country, the Houston Cougars. Now, if they go on and win that game, that's good enough to keep you at that three line. I think that's a better win than Auburn would have on their resume. Auburn's got some good ones, but Auburn does not have a win over the number one team in the country. So if Kansas can do that and go on the road and beat that Houston team, which they've already done once this year, Uncle T-Bone, they already did it. They were the number four team in the country was Houston. They're now number one. If Kansas can sweep that team and win it on the road tomorrow, against the Big 12 champs, I'm pretty sure they've already claimed that title. Houston has. Yeah, that's a solid win and in the best conference in college basketball. But if that does not happen, Auburn should absolutely be a three seed, and especially if they do win a couple of games in the SEC tournament in Nashville next week.
Looking over Lenardi's bracket, the other three, let's look at the four seeds first. Okay, this is who they have Auburn compared to in his bracket. He's got Kentucky over in the Midwest as a four. They'd be playing our Appalachian State Mountaineers in the first round. That'd be a tough matchup.
Go Mountaineers.
Yes, definitely. Illinois at a four against UC Irvine. I'd take Auburn over Illinois right now. I mean, is UC Irvine an easier matchup than Auburn playing in-state Samford? You better believe it. And then Alabama is a four seed down in the South versus College of Charleston. You know, is Alabama a better, I don't know how he's got these fours ranked. I haven't looked into that yet, but I'd take Auburn over Alabama right now. Alabama's not playing very good basketball. They hadn't played good basketball since Latrell Reitzel got hurt. Nobody knows how he got hurt other than head injury in practice. Can someone explain that one to me? I guess not. The three seeds include Creighton in that same division with Alabama. Very well deserved. That's a great, great basketball team right now. Baylor at number three in the West. That's out in Los Angeles. Baylor took care of business against Auburn on neutral court to start the season. They get a little credit there. And then Marquette is a three seed. Is Marquette that much better than Auburn?
They're a good team.
They're a good team.
They did get beat the other night by UConn, I believe. They played on Wednesday night, that same night that Auburn – Auburn played Tuesday. UConn and Marquette played – I believe they played on Wednesday night, and UConn beat them decently. That's a good UConn team, man. The number one seed and one of the top teams in the country. Totally. I mean, that's a really, really good team. But I will say UConn went on the road and beat that Marquette team 74-67.
I mean, and then you have Kansas, it's this third seed, and I'm sorry, I just there's nothing that's going to tell me right now that Kansas is a whole seed better than Auburn. Unless they do something Saturday night, like you said, at Houston, at the number one team in the country, and they take care of business. That's a team that struggled now for a couple of weeks.
Here's how Lenardi has those four seeds ranked. This is according to him yesterday. He has Kentucky, this is 1 through 14, all right? This is the 1 through 4 seeds with a couple of mixtures in there, or 1 through 16, apologies, 1 through 16. This is how he has those ranked. He has Kentucky as the 13th team. He has Alabama as the 14th team. He has Illinois as the 15th team, and Auburn as the 16th team. So Auburn is just now becoming a four seed, according to Joe Lenardi. So he has them as the worst four seed out of Kentucky, Bama, and Illinois. And I'm with you. Neutral floor. At their best, both teams at their best, I'm taking Auburn to beat those teams right now. I think the hardest one would be Kentucky. I think that'd be the hardest game by far. But Auburn can beat Alabama. They've already done it. Illinois can't run with Auburn stuff. They don't have the scoring or the defense to stop them.
Boy, I'd love to match up with a Big Ten team in the second round. I would love that for Auburn because I think it would be almost a complete mirror of how they matched up against Indiana and Atlanta. I just think that Auburn, if they get a team out of the Big Ten, they're going to mess them up.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Auburn would be matched up as of right now with BYU out of the Big 12 as the five seed. Miss me with that. You could possibly play Northwestern in the Elite Eight if they were to beat, or in the, they'd be in the Sweet 16. You'd play them if they were to beat UConn. But yeah, I'm not impressed with the Big Ten this year. I'm just not. They are a conference that's very top heavy with Purdue and Illinois. And then you've got Wisconsin, who has been sliding down the home stretch. Nebraska, okay, they've got Tominaga, and that's it. Northwestern doesn't scare me. Boo Booey does, but other than that, okay. Iowa, no. Michigan State's not even going to make the tournament if they don't get a win or two next week. So, yeah, give Auburn a Big Ten team. I'm cool with that. Let them go. I'm with you on that.
Well, it's all about the matchups.
It is.
And Auburn, I'm telling you, folks, Auburn keeps playing like they are, unless they just run into a buzzsaw of guard play in that second round. They're going to the Sweet 16.
We'll talk more about that, plus Bruce Pearl's press conference from today. That's all coming up here in the first hour of the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Uncle T-Bone, what'd you think about what Bruce Pearl had to say right there, especially there at the end where he said, we have a chance to finish top four in the SEC, and that's a big accomplishment this year with this SEC, with as top heavy as it is right now.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more with Coach Pearl about that. The conference pretty much all season has been, if not the best conference in college basketball, definitely top two, top three, really differentiate the three. ACC, Big 12, SEC, you know. Mm-hmm. Just throw them up in a bag and pick one out. You know, one of them's been best at one point, one of them's been best at the other. All very solid. Very solid basketball leagues, and Auburn is in the SEC right now, and it's about as good as it gets at the top. And there's some teams at the bottom that on any given night can rise up and give you about all you want.
Yeah.
One of those teams may be Arkansas tomorrow at Alabama.
Yeah, what do you feel about that game? What'd you say? You were telling me during the break and during the interview that Arkansas is what? You said, did you say 16? Point underdogs?
Yep, let me pull that back up over at Old Faithful, www.scoresandodds.com. Not all the lines are out for tomorrow for entertainment purposes only, but I did see where at 11 a.m. on ESPN, Arkansas will be at Alabama. 20-10 Alabama. I didn't realize they'd lost 10 games now. Tied giving them 16.5.
Gosh, man. An
over-under of 174.5. That sure does seem like a lot of points for Alabama to be giving anybody right now. And look, you don't know. Arkansas is a box of chocolates. You don't ever know what you're going to get. 15-15 for the year. There's been a couple of games where they just absolutely look like they could play with anybody. And then there's other games where they just look like they couldn't play with anybody.
Well, they're going up against one of the worst defenses statistically in the nation.
Yeah.
And the last time they did that, they dropped 102 points on Kentucky on the road inside Rupp Arena. So
yeah.
I ask you this, and I ask our listeners, for entertainment purposes only, why would you not go with Arkansas and hope that they can keep it close offensively with Alabama? Because we know that Arkansas team is talented, and they are flirting with the talent of Alabama. Not as talented, but they're close. And again, they dropped 102 points last time they played one of the worst teams defensively in the nation in Kentucky. So why not take them and hope they can keep it close tomorrow against the Tide?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I'm not going to say that they're going to get the outright W by any means, but they can give Alabama some problems. If they go for 102 in Coleman Coliseum like they did up at Rupp Arena, they're going to win that basketball game. Alabama on a two-game losing streak, March the 2nd, losing at home. Big Saturday night matchup, marquee matchup. Game day was there. All eyes were watching, and they gagged it up against Tennessee. And then go down to Florida on March 5th, this past Tuesday. Looked like they didn't want any part of being down in that Gator Dome. They looked worse, about as bad as Auburn did when they went down there. Just couldn't do anything. And Mark Sears, to me, the past couple of games, and I think he's a fantastic player, he's not been attacking the rim like he did earlier in league play. And when he gets to the rim, he can either he can score or he can distribute the ball to a three-point shooter, and they're wide open.
Yeah.
And it just seems like to me he's been kind of, I don't want to say loafing out there, but taking like the easier shots at the three-point line instead of getting down and grinding towards the rim and distributing the ball. And that's when Alabama's really dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Reitzel, the player that we mentioned earlier who's been hurt, they have not been the same since they beat Florida. And I believe that was after the Texas A&M game the week before where he got hurt at practice in between Texas A&M and Florida somewhere around February 20th. I just don't think Alabama's been the same ever since. I don't know what happened with his injury, how it occurred, the circumstances of it, if he was that important to the team or not. Alabama's still dealing with some injury issues despite the fact that Reitzel's back. I believe Riley Griffin's hurt now, and that happened down in the Florida game. I don't know the severity of that. Well, Alabama's kind of leaking oil. They need to have a good showing tomorrow.
Yeah, they do. And they have a chance to do that. I mean, Arkansas as a team is just not all that. But talent-wise, I mean, they're one of the most talented teams in the SEC. I want to go back quickly to what Bruce Pearl was saying. He was talking about Senior Day tomorrow with the only two knowns that are not coming back is Leor and Jalen. They cannot come back because of eligibility. But every other senior technically could when it comes to your COVID year and all that. So some decisions to be made on the side of Auburn and the side of some of those seniors that'll be honored tomorrow. But a good game will be happening, Auburn and Georgia. We'll talk a lot more about that coming up in hour number two. SEC standings results coming up tomorrow as well, and what the SEC tournament could look like starting next week. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to us. We'll get to the phone lines a couple of times to start hour number two. It's coming up here on ESPN 106.7.
Production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two here on the Friday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. He is Uncle T-Bone, and I'm Jacob Goins, and we are with you in hour number two. If you missed any of the first hour, you can find it on the podcast form. You can get that on our station website at ESPNAU.com or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. Has some good recap of the week in college basketball in Auburn around the SEC. Also had some Auburn baseball talk as the Tigers take the opening game against Austin Peay 7-6, thanks to Mason Maynard's going yard in the bottom of the ninth inning. We were able to talk about that a little bit as well, and had some Bruce Pearl audio from his press conference today. So that was in hour number one. Phone lines are open, wide open here in hour number two on this free-for-all Friday. And let's get to the phone lines to start off this second hour. And John in Auburn, you're on the line with Jacob and Uncle T-Bone, man. What's up?
Hey, Jacob. Hey, Uncle T-Bone. Uncle T-Bone, I got a bone to pick with you, sir.
Okay.
Okay, so last week, I think, might have been 2 weeks ago, heard you mention the name, the mad Irishman himself, Pat Burt.
Pat because Big Daddy Burt.
Your broadcasting partner in there, I don't think, knows the greatness of Pat Burt. But you know what? You just stopped after Pat Burt. You didn't go Scott Pullman or Lance Weems.
Yeah.
I didn't realize until the
Matt
day.
Matt Geiger.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't realize Adam Harrington is in player personnel with the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, I wasn't quite aware of that myself. So he was on Auburn staff at one point, right?
Maybe. I can't remember.
A few years
but,
back.
Hey, and think his career. Do you remember the governor, Franklin Williams?
For Auburn? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Those two remind me of each other, kind of good back to the basket players, forwards. That could get you a bucket and get you about 7-8 rebounds a game.
Well, I forgot about the governor. What years did he play, John?
I want to say like late 90s. I'm not sure he was on the NJI teams
I think he was before then for some reason.
You may be right. You may be right. Anyway, just an interesting comment.
Now, John, why do I think that Pat Big Daddy Burke was Irish, but didn't he come from Australia? Why do I think that?
I can't remember. I can tell you that everybody in the town of Auburn knew that Dakar was the capital of Senegal because of Mamadou. And I don't think your broadcasting partner knows that nobody packs your lunch like your Mamadou.
Oh, I love it. Yes. I was finishing up school when he was on campus. That was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. I'm a bit younger than you, but yeah. Here's my question.
No, I was just in school for way too long. they call them doctors and Uncle T-Bone.
There you go. Well, people that make bees in med school are still doctors.
There you go.
Here's my last question, though. When you think about, let's take these three guys and put them in a category by themselves. Dylan Cardwell, Katie Johnson, Chris Moore. What's the likelihood of those three guys in some form or fashion coming back next year in y'all's opinion?
That's a good question. I like that. That's a good question. My personal feeling, this is not knowing anything on, you know, having inside information or whatever. I think if there is a chance for any of them to come back, I think Dylan Cardwell would have the highest chance. And I say that.
I agree.
I say that because I think he loves Auburn. I think he is now a graduate now of Auburn. And I think he could get even better with one more year at Auburn because the jump he has made this year compared to the rest of his career, John, has been...
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Exactly. It's been very significant. And I think if he could have one more year, I don't necessarily think he needs it, but I think he could use it. And I think he could continue to get better. Chris Moore, I love the guy, but I think his time is kind of done, and I don't see a role for him on this team moving forward. Katie Johnson, kind of in the same category, especially with Tahat Pettiford coming in. Katie Johnson's role is going to be somewhat limited if he were to do anything after this. So, yeah, I think if you're looking at one of them to come back, Dylan Cardwell would have the highest chance, in my opinion.
Sounds good. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know how open the two's going to be next year, but, you know, we may have that on lockdown with, some of the guys coming in. If you don't know, I expect Auburn to go after a big in the portal this offseason.
I think they should, especially if Jani Broome decides to go off to the NBA like a lot of people think he will.
I think that's almost sure bet. Hey, guys, enjoy the show. Be well.
Thanks so much, John. Have a great weekend, man. Great to hear from you. 334-321-1390.
Couldn't you see Dylan Cardwell if the brand of basketball in the professional level would allow it anymore like it did in the late 80s and early 90s, being almost like a Dennis Rodman type pro.
Yeah.
Coming off the bench, high energy, just go out there and play defense and get rebounds and dive for the ball. And
a lot nicer Dennis Rodman.
Probably a lot nicer looking than old more aged Dennis Rodman.
I think Dylan Cardwell could pull off the crazy hair combinations.
The worm.
Yeah, I think he could do it. You think Cardwell's going to pop on a jet and go to Vegas for a couple days and come back and not tell anybody? That could happen, too.
I think Dylan would be ready to party.
He'd ride a motorcycle to games. He'd do that. Rodman was crazy, man. And obviously, I didn't grow up in that era, but I learned a lot about it when the Last Dance documentary came out with Jordan and... God, what a crazy
He was
situation.
Really impressive to watch, especially in my opinion, when he was at Detroit before he kind of completely went off the deep end when he went to San Antonio and Chicago.
Yeah.
He could run like a gazelle up and down the court. and play mad defense and was a rebounding machine.
Well, that's exactly what Dylan
Cardwell
is.
That's what I'm saying. And, I mean, you kind of lean him up and you let him rip and you just go out there and get the ball, see ball, get ball, right?
Yeah.
Don't score a whole – don't have to score a whole lot. Next thing you know, he's giving you valuable minutes off the bench, got 9 rebounds, a couple of blocks, and you know, 3 assists.
Well, look at his stat line from Missouri. He had 12 points and 6 rebounds.
That'll work.
What more do you want from your backup center?
That's
perfect. And so, yeah, he could be that. In the NBA of 20 years ago.
No question.
Because today's NBA, unfortunately, if you can't shoot from half court, then you're not, you don't belong on the floor. And, I mean, just look at the centers in the league. I mean, Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid and all those guys. I mean, heck, the Utah Jazz have Walker Kessler stepping out and shooting 3 balls. I mean, it's just where the league is at. And so that's why I think for Dylan Cardwell,
might be a good idea to come back for an extra year.
Might be. Or he could go overseas, I think. And he could test the NBA waters, and I think a team would go for it. But his unfortunately, I think the lack of three-point shooting would hold him back a hair. But, yeah, you bring him on the bench, and he comes in and gives you 12 minutes out of a 48-minute basketball game, grabs you 4 boards, gets a couple of put-back dunks or layups, and gets fouled a few times. I mean, sure, why not give him a chance if you're an NBA team with Dylan Cardwell?
I mean, seeing him in person up close last night at Tiger Talk at Baumhauer.
I legitimately have to look up
beast.
To him. Like, I'm 5'11", I think, and I look up to him as in, hey, man, and he could just, like, pat me on the head like a dog.
He is a specimen, and, you know, Give a couple of your bigs a rest and bring Dylan in. Dylan go make some stuff happen, get this place fired up, get a dunk or two, and then just come on back and sit down, and we'll just use you as we need you.
He's awesome. And so with John's question of Dylan Cardwell, KD Johnson, or Chris Moore, any combination of those guys coming back, I stand by what I said to him. I mean, I think Chris Moore's probably done. I think KD –
I think that's
a wild card for me.
Professionally, I think out of the three, obviously, my opinion is showing that Cardwell has the most upside, whether it's here or overseas. You know, so when does he make that leap? Does he decide to come back for another year and develop even more and allow these coaches to help him out to take an even bigger leap when he does move? But, you know, so that's just kind of the way I see that.
Let's get to the phone lines again, 334-321-1390. Dan, you're on the line with Jacob and Uncle T-Bone.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going good, man. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I think you can look at who we've already picked up for next year and realize who they would be replacing. So if you're bringing in – you know, Todd Pettiford, he's obviously going to play the whole time. All the guards that are on the team now, I really don't think they're going to go anywhere. You know, I think Aiden pretty much has to come back, at least for another year, unless he wants to transfer or something. So, I mean, that position is kind of going to make it a little harder for KD to stick around. But then you also look at where Chris Moore plays, you have the, I guess his name's Ja'Kai Howard, and that guy's a beast.
Yeah.
And he's going to be playing.
Right.
So, you know, the minutes may not be there for those guys. Now, you know, you can probably get another, power forward, but then I expect Chaney to pretty much take over that spot full time.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. And you have to look at it this way. I mean, these guys have been playing college basketball for a long time. And, you know, and again, as much as I love Chris Moore, I don't see a professional career in his future on a higher level. And so KD could maybe make something work overseas. But, yeah, you're right. Between what's coming back for Auburn and what's coming in for Auburn, I just don't know if there's a role for those two guys in particular.
Yeah, but they can also go to a smaller school where they could be, instead of being an off-the-bench role player, you know, they could actually be maybe one of the better players on their team if they go to a smaller school.
Yeah,
but the other thing I was going to bring up with Cardwell, in the last couple games, he actually shot a three-pointer when he was left wide open, and he made his last two, and they drained it. He drained them. So, just like Janai kind of – he shot him a little bit last year, but not a lot. I wonder if Cardwell – I mean, I wonder if he's, like, working on that part of his game because, you know, we always worry about – he's sitting up there. We don't ever think he's going to shoot, but literally he drained the last two he took.
Yeah, he's very confident back there too. And it's funny, Dan. I actually talked to Dylan this morning about it, and I asked him. I said, "Look, is Bruce just going to start drawing up plays and on the pick and roll, you step out and shoot him?" And he said, "The stats show that I should. I'm 40% on the year, and so maybe they will." And you know what, Dan? If he does want to legitimately make a run at the NBA, you have to be able to shoot. That's exactly why Janai has done it so far. So that's a good point.
Well, I mean, look, if they're gonna leave you wide open, obviously he doesn't need to shoot it if there's a guy close in his face or something. But if they're gonna leave you wide open, if you shoot that enough times, eventually you're gonna start figuring out how to make it. You know, it's just like shooting free throws. You know, he's a lot better at shooting them this year than he was in the past. So it's just something you work on, and that could be an asset. You know, even if he only shoots one or two a game, I mean, you know.
Well, it's the conversation we had about Janai, where it was, look, you shoot three a game and you make one of them. All you got to do is make one per game, and the defense has to respect you because
of
that. And if Dylan could become that, if he were to be back next year, that adds a whole new element to this Bruce Pearl offense.
Yeah. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, man. That's a great point.
Well, to get Janai back, I think it's going to be pretty expensive.
That's a whole other level of things that you have to get into when it comes to the part of the payment.
Yeah, the NIT on that
of getting these guys back.
That would be very significant for Auburn. So go ahead and get on in there and start giving a little money, Auburn fans, if you want to get him back. That's how it works these days. That's one thing, though, he brings up that they could transfer to a smaller school and at least have more opportunity to showcase their skills. That's something that I kind of like about the transfer portal.
Yeah, it's one of the benefits, for sure.
You know, these guys, it's not like they came in one year, didn't get to play, poked their lip out, started pouting, had some nasty grams on the way out, and went to some other school where they sat on the bench also, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys have given their careers to Auburn.
Yeah.
And if they don't want to play here another year and sit on the bench, especially Moore and Katie Johnson with what it seems like the players coming in, and they really don't have any good looks at overseas, go knock yourselves out, man. Go play at a smaller school and have a good time. I would. My advice to everybody. It's like Back to School, Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah.
Stay in school as long as you can.
Yeah.
It's a tough world out there.
But see, I'm looking at it from the other side of things where it's like, man, I've played college basketball for going on 5 years now.
Right.
And much more do I really have to prove? How much better am I really going to get? I'm not just talking these guys. I'm talking just guys that are in this position in general. It's like, okay, I could go to a smaller school like a Jacksonville State or a South Alabama or something like that and be the guy for a year. But is it going to make me that much better? Or heck, do I even want to play another year of college basketball and go to school for another year? I mean, some guys want to do that and some guys don't.
I tell you, the University of Hawaii's got an opening. I think I'd be out there that final year, right?
I think that's a pretty attractive place to go play ball, don't you think, Uncle T-Bone?
I would enjoy traveling there, or UCLA, or I don't know, Pepperdine or somewhere.
There
sounds
you
good
go.
To me.
Yeah.
San Diego.
I like it. Well, we'll see what happens. Senior day tomorrow for Auburn versus Georgia. We'll be talking about that in the back half of this hour. Coming up, I want to talk about the games this weekend in college basketball, the final regular season weekend. You've got conference seed lines up for grabs, NCAA tournament seed lines up for grabs. How about NCAA tournament bids up for grabs as well? We'll discuss all of that when we come back here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back here in the studio for the Friday edition of On the Line. Lots of basketball talk on the show today. And speaking of basketball, Uncle T-Bone, we're just over a week away from Selection Sunday, which means we're just even a little bit more time away from the start of the NCAA tournament. And on that first day of the NCAA tournament, on that Thursday, March 21st, we will not be here in the studio talking about all the biggest games. We're going to be on location. Tell the people about it, where we're going to be.
Big news, folks. Join us with On the Line, followed by The Drive, for a live remote, 2 to 6, Thursday, March 21st, to tip off the tourney at the Plaza Bar and Lounge, home of the Warburger. Thirsty Thursdays at the Plaza Bar have never been more exciting than March 21st with the first day of March Madness. Along with Jacob, Uncle T, Bill, and Dan, the Plaza, along with all the tourney games, will offer beer bucket specials, $1 wings, and much more. Doors open at 11 a.m. March 21st with ESPN 106.7 live, 2 to 6 in the shack on the party patio from the Plaza Bar in Midtown. The Plaza Bar, your home, Auburn Opelika for March Madness.
God, that's going to be so much fun. That's going to be so much fun, man. It's just going to be a blast.
It's going to be as wild as the Taliban there that Thursday.
I can't wait, man. Hey, everybody come out, be a part of it. Thursday, March 21st, first day of the NCAA tournament. Look, we already know you're going to call off work that day, so you may as well come and hang out with us at the Plaza Bar. We'll talk sports, we'll take phone calls, we'll take guests, we'll have all sorts of great stuff going on. And then we're going to hang out, eat some great food, have some great drinks, and watch the games. And even if Auburn's playing that day or not, we're going to be there on that Thursday. And we're going to have a lot of fun on the opening day of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, tons of TVs inside, tons of TVs outside. The new shack bar there at the patio. On the patio, at the Plaza. It's like a private little area with multiple TVs. It's going to be a ton of fun. We're going to have swag out there. I believe Budweiser's bringing some of their ambassadors.
So,
it's going to be a huge party. Going to be fantastic drink specials. Awesome food specials, $1 wings. They have fantastic food there. So join us 2 to 6. If you want to come early or stay late, that's fine too. March 21st, that Thursday at the Plaza in Midtown.
Yes, that'll be on that Thursday. But before we get there, we've got a lot to decide, Uncle T-Bone. We've got conference tournaments going on this week, the major conference tournaments going on next week, including the SEC. And so many things have to be figured out with the games tomorrow. We know that Tennessee is going to be the one seed in the SEC tournament. They are regular season champs. They earned that right on Wednesday when they beat South Carolina. But it's the disaster and cluster back behind them, Uncle T-Bone, that we're trying to figure out. You've got Auburn, Alabama, right. Kentucky, Florida. I mean, who in the world's going to be inside that top four when it's all said and done come this Sunday when all the results are in? I mean, there's a wide range of possibilities here.
Well, all Auburn has to do is win Saturday. They'll be in the top four.
Correct.
All right, so that's step one. After that, it's all going to shake itself out. I do think it's going to be a little wild finish, though. If I had to guess, obviously Tennessee's going to be one. Either Auburn, Alabama 2, Auburn, Alabama 3, and most likely South Carolina 4 is the way I see it. I think Kentucky goes down to Tennessee. I think South Carolina's got to go over to Starkville, though, Saturday, and that's a desperate Mississippi State team. Everyone still has them in the tournament, but they've been playing their way towards the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bad loss against Texas A&M this week. And ever since Mississippi State's come to Auburn, they haven't looked real good either. So they need a win desperately at home at South Carolina. What happens if South Carolina goes over there and takes care of business at Mississippi State? Do they get firm on the bubble then?
Mississippi State?
Yes.
They're the last four. Or no, they're not. They are.
They're an 8-9, I believe.
They are, yeah. They are part of those last four byes as of right now. So they are still on the bubble. They're the last four byes. They're one of those teams that are avoiding playing in Dayton, but not by much.
Well, you know, what's crazy about it is about a month ago, we're all pounding our chest here at ESPN 106.7 and all the other sports talk shows around the South about SEC is going to have 9 teams in.
Yeah, there went that.
Yeah, I mean, that just completely went out the window. I mean, Ole Miss was the very first one to begin to show really signs of weakness with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Texas A&M followed suit. LSU tried to rise up, but they only could come so far. And now Mississippi State's drinking the Kool-Aid, and it looks like they're taking gas on and taking water on as fast as possible. This might be a must-win for them, or a deep run in the SEC tournament. They're a team that all of a sudden we went from 9 teams that we all thought would get in and how great the SEC was to possibly only 6.
And here's the thing. I said this last year, and I'm going to say it again this year, and I will continue to say this. If you are a team who is on the bubble of the NCAA tournament and you are going into your conference tournament, whether it be the SEC, whether it be the Big 12, Big East, I don't care what it is. You do not want your fate to be unknown going into the conference tournament week, because I promise you, the NCAA tournament committee doesn't care. They don't give a crap that you're running, making a run in your conference tournament. They proved that with Texas A&M. They proved it in years past. They do not care about conference tournaments. So why do we play them? We play them to give an automatic bid to a team that may or may not deserve it, who the team that just won the regular season title has to still play and win to get the automatic bid, which I think is insane. But they've already proven they don't care about your conference tournament, and whether a team like Mississippi State makes a run or not and proves they should be in, they don't care. They've already made their decision.
And I'm just not a big fan of that. I mean, I think a team like Mississippi State, you can't – if they lose at home to South Carolina and then all of a sudden win three games in the SEC and make it – heck, maybe even make it to the final game, and you've already decided because late in the regular season that, you know, they're out – and you've got some other preference, and you're just not even going to consider what they've done in the tournament, then why even have the tournament?
Exactly. And here's the thing, too, something that SEC folks have complained about for a long time, us included. The SEC has to make a change. They've hurt themselves because the SEC tournament championship game is played on Sunday afternoon. Well, guess what? The tournament committee's already made their bracket, and they've proven that also with Texas A&M. They don't care. They're not waiting for the result of the championship game at 4 or 5 o'clock when the selection show begins at 6. They're not going to make changes or adjustments.
Right.
They've told us that. They've proven it with their actions, and they've told us with their words. So it doesn't matter if Mississippi State makes a run. I've said it. You do not want your fate of making the NCAA tournament to be decided within conference championship week. That's a bad spot to be in.
No, I'm with you on that. I think everything you're saying is just comes down to this simple point. Don't ever give the committee an excuse.
Bingo.
Just don't put yourself in that position. And Mississippi State is all of a sudden in that position. But a win Saturday, and I think they're not in that position.
I agree.
So that's a huge, huge game for the Bullpups.
Leave no doubt. That's what State's got to do. And they've got a big opportunity with South Carolina. We'll talk about all the SEC games plus Auburn and Georgia coming up tomorrow. We'll have that on the back half of hour number two here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm Jacob Goertz. He is Uncle T-Bone. We're with you on this Friday. Clouds starting to roll in a little bit, getting a little bit darker outside as we get closer to the 4 o'clock hour. Hey, we got a couple of phone calls to get to. Would love for you to be a part of the show as well. 334-321-1390. Mark, you're on the line. You're first up, man. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. It's Friday.
It is Friday. Hey, amen to that.
I've got a prediction that even I don't believe. Kentucky's going to beat Tennessee tomorrow.
Wow. Okay. Why is that, Mark?
They're going to shut them down. I don't know. Just because Tennessee's going to get a head start on choking.
Get a head start on choking. I love it.
Yep. But now, since it's free-for-all Friday, let's talk about something really important. Jake Paul and Mike Tyson.
There you go.
Man, what is going on in this sport? Is this guy really – I don't keep up with it that much. Is Jake Paul really that good?
I mean, I don't think so, but it's all for show. You know that.
Yep, and Mike Tyson, I done forgot about him years ago.
I mean, I see videos every now and then of him punching a bag, and I don't think there's enough money in the world for me to step in front of it.
Is any part of Iron Mike Tyson?
I'm not getting in there with him. I'd like to see Tyson – tell him to jump on Fury or that guy from Russia or whatever and see how that turns out.
Yeah. Well, you know, between boxing or UFC, it just depends on which one. And, yeah, man, you could pay me millions, but you're going to be bedridden on feeding tubes the rest of your life if you get in the ring with Mike Tyson.
You got that right. right. I mean, all right. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Another call.
Thanks so much, Mike.
He knocked that guy out in that movie, The Hangover, didn't he? Mike Tyson, 57 years old, will be facing Jake Paul, who's 27 years old, I guess in that exhibition boxing match. That's going to be in Jerry World, and they will sell every single ticket for that. And if somebody has it on pay-per-view, I'll go watch it.
Yeah, I will. I'll join a buddy to watch it.
Yeah, I'm not going to shell out my own.
No,
I mean, I might pitch in a couple of dollars, but
I may bring the snacks or something. But I mean, I'm not gonna pay. I don't think I'm gonna pay for that. But
I mean, he's been boxing professionally since 1985. People forget he was an Olympic boxer, too.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, you don't want any piece of Iron Mike Tyson. He's going to knock that guy into the next world.
One of my favorite videos of Mike Tyson. I think this was during COVID. You remember the hoverboards that got real popular?
Yeah.
Did you ever see the video of Mike Tyson trying to ride a hoverboard?
No.
he was one of the victims, I'll tell you.
I wouldn't get on one of those things either.
He stood on that, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's the two-wheeled thing that you step on with one foot and then the other, and you guide it forward, backwards, and you can spin in circles with your feet.
Yeah.
He stepped on this thing and started laughing and clapping and was celebrating. He went about 3 feet and spun around and went bam and just smacked on the back of the floor, and I got to admit, it was really funny.
Yeah, that's how you get hurt. Those things are for children.
I loved it. I got one for Christmas years ago. It was awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
334-321-1390. Let's get to the phones again. Terry, what's up, man? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Jacob. T-Bunner, am I the only guy that's surprised that Vince McMahon is not tied to that somehow?
Yeah, well, he's got his own problems, if you haven't heard.
Yes.
Well, I agree. No, I haven't heard, actually, Jacob.
Oh, goodness. Well, that's a story for another time. But, yeah, people can look that one up and find that out for themselves. He's been in some hot water recently.
Well, whatever. He's got all the money in the world.
That's right.
Just surprised he's not tied up with something that's extravagant. But, anyway, I want to ask you guys a question about the portal. When does the portal reopen for football?
So the portal is going to be opening for the spring once you have spring practice wrapping up and concluding. But you remember, Terry, that last year there was all sorts of debacle because some teams had their spring games already completed, like Auburn, before the portal opened up on that Monday. Some teams were still playing their spring games and had spring games to conclude while the portal was opening up. I believe maybe Oregon and Oregon State, some of those Pac-12 teams got caught up in that, Terry. So it's a disaster. And I mean, they have no guidance on what to do and how teams are supposed to handle it. I'll get you an exact date in a second. But, yeah, it you remember that last year. It was a cluster, man.
Well, see, because I fully expect whoever comes down the short and stick, Holden Gerner's who I'm betting on, he's going to be in the portal.
Really?
I really believe that.
Okay. Why do you say that?
Because he's been the backup, and he's going to get beat out. And Hugh Freeze is slowly moving on. And he was a Brian Harsin recruit.
I'll say this, two words about that situation, Hank Brown.
Yeah, that's it. There's Walker White. And Walker White could be the reason Hank Brown ends up transferred at some point. Let's be honest.
Yeah, what if Hank Brown ends up being the reason why Walker White transfers one day?
Interesting.
Things can happen, Terry. You don't ever know.
Absolutely could happen. Absolutely could. Because I've said this about Peyton Thorne. Look, that 6-for-17 stuff's going to stop. They've got the pieces around him now. There's no more excuses. He's there for a year now.
I agree with that.
So the excuses are gone. If he wants to go 6-for-17 and rush for 80 yards, he should have been in the Nebraska offense in the mid-90s.
Well, look, man, you know, anybody who came in last year was walking into one of the worst situations roster-wise in the SEC. And that includes Coach Hugh Freeze. I mean, they had to legitimately put a roster together with bubble gum and tape last year. And that Peyton Thorne comes in and doesn't even get in here for the spring. You know, gets here this summer, and his go-to receivers are almost every one of them's transferred out because they transferred in. I mean, the offensive line was, golly, man. I mean, it was a work in progress. It got better.
It did, yeah.
And Auburn really –
they're going to be way better this year.
I agree with that, and I'm not really sure that Auburn's running backs lived up to their hype and potential last year. There were a lot of issues. But that was last year.
Right.
And we're moving on to 2024. And I think, quite frankly, if you see those same type of issues that you saw out of Peyton Thorne last year with all those excuses I just gave you, you're not going to see him playing a whole lot.
Terry,
well, another thing, too, Jacquez Hunter was suspended for the first few games, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah.
So he wasn't playing. I mean, and there were, you know, reasons and stuff like that. But hey, the spring window for football, it'll open Tuesday, April 16th, and it'll close Tuesday, April 30th of this year in 2024.
Wow. That's right there. I'm not a big fan of the taking a break, practicing three or four times and taking a break, coming back. I'm not a big fan of that.
I don't think I am either.
Especially when you're trying to establish continuity and dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's like Hugh Freeze is trying to do at Auburn. If you've got a program that's rolling like Nick Saban had in Alabama, probably not that big a factor. But when you're trying to do what he's doing, a huge factor.
But I think maybe, Terry, and this is based off a video that Auburn actually put out, it was Freeze talking to the team after that second practice the week, but it was like that Thursday before spring break, so I guess that would have been last Thursday. And he was addressing the team, and he was saying, you know, it's spring break, but those of you that want to go out and go on a trip and go hang out and you know, not necessarily party, but go and do your thing and not worry about football, that's fine. But how many of you are going to hang around and work? How many of you are going to hang around and do the right things and bond with your teammates and learn some new things and get better during a week that it's not required to get better? So maybe, Terry, just maybe, it's a test. Yeah. Maybe it's a test for these guys to see who really wants to be here, who wants to be a competitor, and who's just here for a good time.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly, Jacob. Let me ask you guys one more quick question, if I could, please.
Yep.
How many Alabama fans do you think are going to jump off the bridge if they lose three games next year?
Three games next year?
Yeah.
Well, they better be ready for it.
I'm saying that jokingly, but they're not used to the two. Look, Nick Saban only lost two games barely. Yeah. So if they lose three, they'll go nuts.
Here's the thing. I think before the season gets here, most of them will have convinced themselves that they're okay with it, that they're going to lose a few games. But, man, when they start losing, it's going to come out.
No way.
The natural just upset is going to come out, and they're going to be all sorts of fired up.
No way, right. Jacob. One thing that I've always been leery of with Alabama fans, but have come to respect, is that it doesn't matter if it's Mike Shula, Mike Price, or Mike whoever is coaching that football team, they expect to win a national championship.
You know what I've always said, T-Bone? Alabama fans are proof positive that people on Jerry Springer really did exist. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Terry.
I mean, the world's made for folks and fans who have zero self-awareness. To get back real quick to this Mike Tyson thing, I've pulled up a video, and now I'm hooked. Robert Griffin III, we all remember him.
RG3. He's very vocal on social media, in case you didn't know.
And I kind of like the guy, you know. I think he does a pretty good job with his commentary in football games. He doesn't bother me.
Side note, have you seen the video of him? When he's on the sideline doing a broadcast, he's got like three other broadcasters with him, and he gets a call from his wife that she's pregnant going into labor. He drops everything and sprints off the field and heads to the hospital. Have you seen that?
No,
that's
I haven't,
awesome.
But I love that.
It's fantastic.
And I'll say this, too. I did see that video where he raced like a Seahawk and beat
it.
Yeah, those things can move, man. So he's still got a little athleticism in
That's
him,
right.
And I love it. And but he's got this quote in a video of Mike Tyson, who's training right now, obviously, for this big fight with Jake Paul. Quote, fighting
big
Mike
fight.
Tyson at 57 will be easy. And then he has Mike Tyson at 57 in this video. Sparring and warming up, and I can tell you right now, at 57, you don't want any piece of Iron Mike Tyson.
No, I'm telling you, I've seen videos of it, man, of him punching bags and punching like his trainers and stuff that are sparring with him. Absolutely not. Miss me with that. There's no chance.
It's crazy. You got to go check this out. Go check out RG3 at RG3 at Twitter. This guy's a maniac.
There's no chance. How much money would it take for you to get in the ring for 3 minutes?
Oh, I wouldn't last 3 minutes, but to even get in the ring and put up some type of fight, you'd have to start with six figures, because he's going to hurt someone, and especially someone who's not a professional fighter. Now, look, Jake Paul, you know, he can throw a punch.
Shoot.
But this is legit boxing. This is what's shocking me more than anything is not necessarily the power while he's sparring, but how quick he is still.
Mike Tyson,
57, he's in good shape, man.
Yeah, he still has the ability to kill another human. Like, he's that powerful. He could still do that. Unbelievable, man. What does the world come to? What does sports come to when we're talking on a Friday? We're talking Mike Tyson.
Free for all Friday.
It is free for all Friday, and we do appreciate everybody calling in. Andy, you're on the line, man. What's up?
Man, Mike Tyson, punch out. That was a good one. Auburn fans cry when we win. Alabama fans cry when they lose. Tell me that's not the truth.
Well, no comment.
that Missouri game, that was the first one I actually picked right with Auburn. They actually did what they were supposed to, and that was nice. I've missed what you guys talked about. So if you can recap your pick Saturday against Georgia, I think it's a – I think we do it by 15, but want to get your thoughts. Thanks.
Yep. Well, real quick, we have talked about this. We have 4 tickets tomorrow, and by the way, for the Auburn-Austin Peay game, still here at the station.
For baseball,
so,
yep.
For baseball, so not Auburn-Georgia basketball. Those would probably be on StubHub.
Yep.
I'm still looking for this line. It has not dropped, and normally it does on a Friday at scoresandodds.com, Auburn and Georgia. There is no possible way on earth Georgia is going to walk in here and take care of business against Auburn tomorrow.
You don't think so?
No, sir. Ain't happening. Ain't no way Auburn doesn't blow the doors off Georgia tomorrow. I mean, are you kidding me? Senior day? You can hear it in Bruce Pearl's voice from earlier. From the audio he played, he's getting emotional about his boys.
Yeah, he is. He should be.
They're going to open up a can tomorrow.
You're putting the seer of confidence, the Uncle T-Bone
seer. I'll just
seer.
Go ahead and give it a JG guarantee.
Whoa, you can't throw that around, man. Can't throw that around because our reputation's been tossed.
Lead pipe lock of the century. Storming the beaches of Normandy. The guns of Navarone are going to go boom on the Georgia Bulldogs tomorrow. Tigers may score 100 again.
I like it. 334-321-1390. We'll get one more phone call in when we come back. We'll give our final thoughts as well. Here on a free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line, we'll wrap it up after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Let's get to one more phone call before we get out of here. Dak, you're on the line with Jacob and Uncle T-Bone, man.
Hey, guys. Good to hear you today, man.
Yeah, good to hear from you.
Yeah, question, man. Did y'all read the article about the UAB Temple game, basketball game?
I did. I did see this. They had some
some
sketchy betting going on the back end and had to put a little scout on it and see what's going on.
What, is Brad Bohannon out of prison?
Yeah, I tell you what, but they said that was the second Temple game that has popped up on their radar. I wonder what's going on with that.
Uh-oh. Yeah. I saw the headline and got a little information. I haven't read a full detail. I don't know how many details they have on that situation, but what it was something like the spread was 1.5 and then jumped all the way to 7 or 7.5 right before tip off. Something smells a little fishy on that one, Dak.
That's absolutely right. And then the game before them, they were favored by, 5.5, and they lost by, 6 or 7 points.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it was something like that. So that's going to be interesting once they finish their investigation, man. Something's up with that. But the main reason I was wanting to call was and y'all may have already touched on it, out of all the guys that could come back next year on the basketball team, do you think all of them will, or what do y'all see?
Yeah, it's funny you asked that. We had somebody else bring that up a little bit earlier in the show, and we talked about the combination of Chris Moore, KD Johnson, and Dylan Cardwell, and I think the only one that I think would come back or should come back would be Dylan Cardwell. I think there's a handful of guys that could, but I think he has the most to gain by coming back. I don't know if Chris Moore would have any more room of improvement or anything. And then with KD Johnson, I just think the guard room is going to be really crowded. It already is. And so I think Dylan Cardwell would be a really good one to bring back. And if there's a chance for somebody to do it, I think it would be him.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, thanks, man.
Yeah, man. Great to hear from you, Dak. Thanks so much. Uncle T-Bone, your thoughts on all that?
KD Johnson has the game of his life tomorrow on senior day. against his old team, Georgia. Tigers roll, may go for a hundo tomorrow against the Georgia Bulldogs. I mean, Georgia's really got nothing left to play for other than pride. I think that Mike White has them on a better track. I still don't know after – I thought they were on the right track earlier in the year, but they've really slipped off as of late. They don't have the firepower. And I'm telling you what, Leor Berman's going to come out on senior day, and he's going to be hobbling around, unfortunately, because of his knee injury, probably on some crutches or on one of those little push carts. And Auburn fans are going to get misty-eyed and go into a foaming anger of just get out of here, Georgia. They're going to kill the Dogs tomorrow. Fact.
I love it. Hey, we got to get to the phone lines one more time. Got about a minute or so. We've got the one and only Uncle Keith from Uncle Keith Red Sauce joining us on the phone lines. What's up, Uncle Keith? How are you, man?
What's happening, Jacob and Uncle T-Ball? How y'all doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. I got about a minute for you, man. What's on your mind?
Yeah, man. I just wanted to call in and tell you guys, man, how much I really enjoy listening to your show every day. You guys are keeping it real, keeping us informed out there. And so just keep doing what you're doing, man. I love listening to the show, and I've got a lot of friends that love listening to the show. So good to hear you guys on today on a Friday.
Yeah, man, we appreciate you listening. Appreciate you calling in. And also, that ad sounds pretty good for Uncle Keith's Red Sauce. Y'all go check that out at UncleKeithsRedSauce.com.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Thanks so much, man. Appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, that stuff that Uncle Keith has. And they ship all over the country, so make sure you can send a little bit of this Alabama, made in Alabama, Southern-style salsa all over the country. Check them out at UncleKeithsRedSauce.com. It's good, y'all.
It is good, y'all. So go check that out. Auburn, Georgia, tomorrow, senior day. There's going to be some emotions around that arena, man. You mentioned Leor Berman, Jalen Williams, the guy who has played more basketball games in an Auburn uniform than anybody in the history of the world. He'll be in senior day tomorrow. He cannot come back due to eligibility reasons. He's been here long enough. He's been here quite a long time. And I think Auburn fans are going to let him have it in a good way. I think they're going to give it up for all the seniors that have been on this team who have given everything they've had for Auburn and have been a part of a really, really good run for Bruce Pearl and this team. I'm with you. There is absolutely no way that Georgia comes in here and beats this Auburn team tomorrow. I don't care if you played with you and me out of the stands. I think Auburn could find a way to get it done tomorrow on senior day. Tigers, I think, will get that top four spot in the SEC. I think Tennessee beats Kentucky tomorrow. I have a weird feeling that they don't, but I'm going to take it anyway. And then that would make Kentucky a 5 seed or outside the top four anyway. And I think Alabama beats Arkansas. I think that South Carolina beats Mississippi State, knocks them on that bubble even more. We're going to have a lot to talk about come Monday afternoon.
Yeah, I don't think Dominique Wilkins is walking through that door tomorrow for the University of Georgia. I got a good feeling about this one. Andy, jump on board with Uncle T. We're taking it a bridge too far tomorrow with the Auburn Tigers. I'm telling you, they're going to open up a can on Georgia.
Well, you weren't here on Wednesday to give your pick, so Andy felt a lot more confident taking Auburn on Wednesday than he would now with you picking them tomorrow.
I had Tigers all the way. Winter chicken dinner.
Love it, man. Hey, we appreciate everybody being with us on this Friday. Uncle Keith, great to hear from you and all of our wonderful callers and listeners on this Friday afternoon. Enjoy the weekend. Stay safe in all the weather tonight, tomorrow. Hopefully it gets in and gets out, and we can get into the weekend with basketball and baseball until Monday, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. He is Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.